Oh, it says I'm talking. Let's see. Am I talking now?
Good evening. Happy 4th of July to everybody.
Yep, happy 5th of July.
You too.
You too. And all you listeners out there in Radio Land, hi, happy 4th, Gina says. Okay, nice to see you here, Regina. All right. So we are here for Growing with NTI. And we like to start with a prayer, and I'm really feeling Connie wants to pray tonight.
I do want to pray tonight. Thank you very much. All
You go right
right, all
ahead.
right. Thank you, Jacqueline. Thank you, God. Yes, thank you for everything. Thank you for my process of awakening. Thank you for allowing me to share it with others of like mind. Thank you for the reading we're going to have tonight and for the insights that you're going to share with us. I'm truly grateful, and I don't know how else to say it except I'm truly grateful. Thank you, God. Okay.
Amen. She means
I
amen.
mean, amen. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you, Connie. All right. Regina says she's got to leave part of the way through. Well, I'm glad you're here. Okay, so here we go. So last week we left off, actually, we left off a little bit further down the page than we're going to pick back up. We're on page 178. We're in Luke chapter 22. But Connie thought, and I agree, that we should back up just a little bit since we had this whole paragraph underlined, the next little, last paragraph underlined. So,
Jacqueline's got underlined stars and circles. I think we should read it again. I got
right.
notes in the margin even.
We like this part, so we'll spend another minute with it. So this is on page 178,
39.
sentence 40, huh?
39.
Oh, sentence 39. Oh, you want to back up two paragraphs.
Yep.
All right. Okay. Do you want to read tonight?
No.
Okay. So I'm going to read. It says, "You know that you want the comfort and peace of God, and now you know that this comfort and peace comes from within. So what you must do is choose the comfort and peace of God by denying anything that you recognize as alien to that comfort and peace. For if it is not of God, it does not exist. It is merely sickness born of imagined meaning. Therefore, there is nothing to do with it except let it be healed." Go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to say, that sentence that says, "So what you must do is choose the comfort and peace of God by denying anything else, anything that you recognize as alien to that comfort and peace." And a couple things. One, I really like that it starts off saying that you want the comfort and peace of God, because sometimes when I think about what it means to wake up and to do this, and the whole idea of surrender, it doesn't always seem indicative of comfort and peace. It's like, oh, maybe it's going to be sacrifice and what
Discomfort.
and discomfort. So to hear the promise here of comfort and peace is nice. And secondly, just wanted to point out, not because she's listening, but because that I've been really impressed with that, and I'd heard it before, but I've really started paying attention and trying it now. When Regina talks about asking why on anything you get ready to do, why am I going to make this phone call? Oh yeah, you're feeling a little guilty. Well, maybe that's not the time to make the call then.
Right.
So
yeah.
that sentence 41 tells us what to do.
Yeah, so what you must do is choose the comfort and peace of God by denying anything you recognize as alien to that comfort and peace. And these are the same things we've been talking about, that Regina's been talking about in her tips, consistent gentle healing. I think it's the same thing. It's where are you going to focus your attention? You recognize the options and where you're
178.
Hey, Kathy.
Kathy. Hi, Kathy.
Yeah, so recognize that you have the choice and then make the choice.
Yes. And if you determine it's ego, then don't make that choice.
Right. Don't make that one.
Don't make that.
All right.
Okay. We're on 39. We just read we're getting ready to read 42. Kathy.
Okay. For if it is not of God, it does not exist. It is merely sickness born of imagined meaning. Therefore, there is nothing to do with it except let it be healed.
And just recognizing that it's not of God is a big awakening session.
Yeah, it is. I mean, that's a big start. And it's interesting because the 42 and 43 and 44 seem to define the denial that's asked for. You know?
Right.
And of course, it talks about the proper use of denial, and this would be it, right? You deny anything that has no meaning to have meaning. You know, you don't give meaning to things that don't have meaning, and that's what this is talking about. You recognize that it has no meaning because it's not of God. It's merely imagined meaning, that's sickness, and yet, you know, we're not repressing it. We're not pretending that we don't feel that way. We're not projecting it onto someone else. You know, we're practicing rest, accept, and trust.
Yeah, I think that's going to say more about that in the next paragraph. Go ahead.
Where you see a need to defend, rest, and let that perception be healed. Where you see fear, rest, and let that perception be healed. Where you see guilt, rest, and let that perception be healed. Whenever you think you are not worthy of all the glory of God, rest, and let that perception be healed. As you rest, you will be healed.
Cool beans. I love it.
Yeah.
And last time we read this, you said stop feeding the story, so.
Yeah, rest, and that's part of that formula that Regina has introduced us to. It's rest the story, accept how you feel now, and trust that this process, this rest, accept process, is healing.
Is the healing process.
Yeah.
Very cool. Yeah. Perfect for me too, Kathy.
Within the mind of health, you will receive guidance. Trust and follow your guidance. It comes but from your true self, which is based on truth, not illusion. Now, what's cool about what jumps right out at me from this paragraph is, you know, we for consistent general healing, we listen to I don't remember what Regina's teaching on inner guidance, what it's called. But we listen to it, and
tuition, the thing on tuition, is that what you're on?
Intuition.
Yeah.
Tuition's what you pay to go to school.
Okay, intuition.
Intuition, sorry. yes, the thing on intuition, because it says, within the mind of health, you will receive guidance. But one of the points that Regina makes in that video, and in my experience, it's a good point. You're not going to receive guidance. Guidance isn't going to, you know, come struggling in. You know, in an extreme case it might. But it's not going to come struggling in through all the thoughts that I'm entertaining of my mind. And finally holler loud enough for me to hear. I mean, it's a quiet mind that receives guidance.
Yeah.
And so that's why you have to rest the story.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
That's why you can't be running off pursuing whatever ego's told you need to do to solve these quote-unquote problems you think you have. I mean, you can't run around busy like that, or you're just not going to hear the guidance.
Yeah. Guidance isn't going to come in with a bullhorn.
That's right. That's right. Cultivating intuition. Thank you, Regina.
Yeah, I thought those tips were really great.
Yes, awesome.
For hearing them. Intuition.
Yeah. All right. So within the mind of health, you will receive guidance. Trust and follow your guidance. It comes but from your true self, which is based on truth, not illusion. There will be times within your mind when there will seem to be great fear as you move forward by doing all that I ask you to do. Know this, great fear is nothing more than great resistance. And so the means for overcoming great fear is great willingness. Great willingness comes from remembering what you want.
Oh, that's pretty good. I needed to hear that because, you know, my, what do you call it when you hold it out in front? Your spiritual
aspiration.
My spiritual aspiration is stepping through the fear. So this is good. Yep, by remembering what I want, I can give up that resistance, which is the fear. That's very good.
Right. Right, and I think it's going to tell us this here, but it seems to me that the nexus here is that, sorry, every time I go to say something, my mind gets really busy and then I can't hear it. It's really strange. I don't know why it's just, stop it. I don't know what's doing that.
She keeps it up, folks. I was leaning over and smack her. No, I'll lean over and kiss her.
Well, again, it's like, great willingness comes from remembering what you want. I'm sorry. I can't. It must not be the thing to say because it is just not in my mind anymore. And there was a really clear nexus there, but we'll go on. So let me just... the idea is that you're not going to do the things that the thinking mind tells you to do. And, you know, again, like Regina was talking about in her
cultivating
intuition. you know, the thinking mind's going to go, you can't do that. You know, you'll go broke. You can't do that. People don't do that in this world. People don't behave this way. You can't do whatever it is that guidance is telling you to do. You know,
you can't take somebody to Dairy Queen.
Right. You can't take somebody to Dairy Queen.
Dinner.
So you have to, so the willingness comes in that you have to see, you have to be willing to let go of the thinking mind.
Right.
Right? So you can't listen to the fear that the ego is screaming at the top of its lungs. You have to understand that, that the thinking mind is not wisdom.
Yeah, and that's where I think that whole rest, trust, what's the last one?
Rest, accept, and trust.
Rest, accept, and trust comes in because you just, you know, I mean, that's some of that stuff's Dairy Queen? Are you friggin' kidding me? I'm going to take a guest to Dairy Queen for dinner? You know, I mean, or even more outlandish things than that, you know, but I mean, that's pretty outlandish, but... yeah, because the logical mind's never going to go there, so...
Or I'm going to quit my job for life that...
Yeah, that's pretty absurd.
Pay me a salary for life, hang in there another 12 years.
Yep.
Yeah, so there's all kinds of things like that.
Yep.
Yeah, that it's going to say, don't do it, that's stupid.
Yep.
So anyway, so great fear is nothing more than great resistance. And so the means for overcoming great fear is great willingness. Great willingness comes from remembering what you want. This is the time for accepting that the world is not real. For if you have given belief that the world is real, then you must believe that your fear is real also. And you must believe your thinking mind, right? Who's got this whole world figured out. And that's not what the book says. That's what Jacqueline says. And you will not be able to cross the threshold at which you stand and want to cross. For to cross over into reality, you must have accepted the awareness that what you know now in the world is not the reality of God. Yeah, I mean, it's exactly what you were saying, Connie. You just absolutely have to give up your concepts and your belief that you know how to navigate this world.
Right. Yeah, so... So to go through that three-step process is really good, I think. And it said, you know, we started off, you know that you want the comfort and peace of God. So if that's the promise, I'm in. Because otherwise, I mean, if you believe that the world is real, then there is no comfort and peace of God.
Yeah, you'd be sorely disappointed.
Well, it's just too hard.
It's too hard.
It's too hard. It's too hard to know the tragedies and the horrific things that seem it seemed to be going on.
Yeah, and you know, Connie and I had a little tiff this weekend because I was irresponsible. And it's all good now. But I'm thinking, I mean, even that was just so painful. And so, you know, as we're talking about, you know, this belief in the world is real, I was just thinking that it's funny how everything just gets more and more difficult to bear. I mean, my tolerance for even miscommunication and the resulting pain from that, right, is just so difficult to bear. And I think that, you know, I don't know, when you're younger or maybe it's earlier or on the path, you think, oh, well, that must just be an aberration. Oh, well, that's just an aberration because things don't normally work that way. You know, that's out of the ordinary because, you know, things usually come together and work fine. But, I mean, when you get to be 55 years old and you're going, no, I mean, you know, when it works correctly, when people are getting along, when, you know, that's probably the aberration because it just seems like it just gets harder to bear.
Yeah, you know? any conflict or discord. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so you know that you want the comfort and peace of God. That's why we're here. That's why we're at the table.
It's page 179 we're on. okay, Kathy. All right, so here we go. We are on page 179, verses 47 through 53. The time that will come will usher you across its threshold, if you but let it.
All right.
For in order to cross over into the awareness of truth, you must not resist the crossing over by reaching for this world. Yeah, I spend life that way, Kathy, a little bit scattered. This world you must let go because it is not reality, and so you must seek reality over illusion, and you must do it in peace and full willingness. Yeah, and again, I'm reminded that you know, someone made a comment last week or the week before about somebody feeling forced. Was it Jesus that felt forced into doing something? And Regina pointed out, no, the calling was just so great. Oh, it was Buddha. Yeah, they said when they watched little Buddha, they were upset because Buddha couldn't stay with his wife and child because he felt forced to. And Regina's like, no, he didn't feel forced. You know, it was just the calling was so great in him. And that's what this is saying is, you must seek reality over illusion, and you must do it in peace and full willingness. There's really no other way to do it. I mean, as we know, it's a choice that you must make. As I said, we get older and older and see more and more aberrations and that, you know, see more and more unhappiness, and it's it becomes an easy choice to make. But still, you can't be a little bit pregnant. You know, you got to go all in order to really appreciate willingness and the fruits thereof.
Yeah, I've heard more than one person say when the Course or NTI talks about a little willingness, they don't really mean that. They mean it's you're all in or you're not.
A little lot, a willingness. Yeah.
Yeah.
Verses 54 through 62, remember what I am telling you now, and remember what it is that you want. You are on a sacred path. I mean, that's worth reading again. You are on a sacred path, a path that is lit by the light of heaven. But in the hour when it seems that it may be dark, it is because you are remembering the world. Let go of the world. It is meaningless, based on a false premise and built of illusions believed. You do not want it anymore. I mean, and so what comes to mind for me with this is like when I did choose to leave my job, when the guidance was really clear that I was to leave my job, I was sitting there with a limited amount of funds and not sure what I would do next, how things were going to come together for me. But the guidance was really clear to leave the job. But I could have gone, well, and did go, oh my God, what have I done? I mean, you know, once you put out the word to the political community that you're not going to be running for your position, I mean, that hole fills up really quick. So, I mean, that was a thought. That was a decision there was really no going back on.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there, it was difficult. So I did experience some pain there, because, and why? Not because I was following guidance, but because I was looking back at the world going, ooh.
lamenting what you thought you'd let go of.
Yeah. Yeah. What did I just do? What am I going to do? Where's my money going to come from? I mean, all of that, because I let the world in and I let the world let me second guess the guidance.
Yeah, it's a doubt.
Yeah.
That was painful.
Yeah, it was the doubt that was painful. Exactly.
Yeah, that reminds me of that Byron Katie that says that people she even talked to that had been tortured, that their anticipation of the torture was the worst.
Was worse than the actual
yes.
pain when it came.
Yes.
The anticipation was worse.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's our beliefs about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Than the actuality. Yeah, what the hell did I just do? That's right. Okay. So, let go of the world. Reach only for the light of heaven. This light will lift you up and you will not know darkness anymore. And, you know, I got to tell you that what's coming in my mind is this, and I have always loved the story about, you know, the lilies of the field that Jesus tells. You know, it's like, you know, look at the lilies of the field. They don't toil, you know, they don't sow, they don't reap, they don't have to do anything. And look how great they're dressed, right? You think you have to do more than a lily of the field? The answer is you don't. You just have to be tuned into intuition. And that's reaching for the light of heaven, right? It's placing yourself in that flow by listening for the voice of guidance. And by not doubling back, right, to see what ego has to say about the guidance that you're listening to, which can be very, very painful. But, you know, I've never done without. And I can tell you that there's no question in my mind that, you know, this particular instance that we're talking about, this life-changing guidance, thank God for it. I mean, really, I mean, thank God for that guidance. I'm just...
Yeah, you were in a downward spiral.
Yes, I was. Yes, I was. So this is I'm very pleased that I was able to actually listen to that guidance. But this is talking about continuing to reach for the light of heaven. Verses 63 through 71. One will accept what he is willing to accept. He cannot be asked to accept anymore, for he will not even hear the request that he accepted. This is why you must be attentive to your own mind, for you are accepting that which you are willing to accept, but you are not accepting all that you want to accept, because you are not yet fully willing. And, you know, that's so cool, because anybody who ever picked up the Course in Miracles and read it and went, what is this gobbledygook, knows this phenomenon right here, right? Because most of us, when we picked up the Course, could not make heads or tails of it. And it's because we weren't willing yet to accept all the truth that we find there. And I think NTI is the same way. I mean, I think NTI, I mean, it's not, certainly not as difficult to read as the Course. But even, you know, as you know, when you read NTI again, you're like, I'm not sure it said that last time I read this, right?
Yeah.
And it just blooms and blossoms again and again and again. And that's because as we are willing, our willingness opens up.
Yeah.
Happiness and more will be given to you.
Yeah, there seems to be a lot more to it when you're in the crux of being it. There seems to be a lot more to what you're reading, than it's just much deeper.
Yeah. If it's more than just reading, if you're actually practicing it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It's really kind of interesting too. This paragraph we just read from the perspective of, you know, that you think you you think you know something, right? You think you're right. Yeah, well, I know what NTI said. Well, maybe you know what you read in NTI, but maybe there was more there that you missed. So this is why you must be attentive to your own mind. For you are accepting that which you are willing to accept, but you're not accepting all that you want to accept because you are not yet fully willing. Do not let this distress you. Be glad that an awareness of limits has been brought to your mind. Be glad that the one who places these limits and removes them is you. For in this, there lies a statement of your freedom and your truth. This is what you are to do. Watch your mind for limits you have placed on your readiness and your willingness. Be willing that these limits be exposed to you. When they are exposed, do not defend them or fall into the trap of believing them once again. Instead, notice the limitation that has been placed upon your mind and say to it, but this: I have limited myself by my own choosing through agreeing to believe this thought. But this thought has no meaning in reality. By keeping it within my mind, by judging it in any manner, I keep myself tied to illusions. All there is to do is to release this thought and open my mind to God. I am willing to be open to what I cannot expect and cannot judge, for that is the experience of truth, and truth is my reality.
Now, over and over again, the NTI tells us that we have to do that inquiry and let go of the concepts.
Yeah, and to do the practice, and you know, again, we've been referring several times to the intuition audio, cultivating intuition audio, and I think that's what Regina left us with in that audio, and that is, you got to do the practice. You've got to do the practice. You can't read it. You can't just read it. You can't just think about it. You've got to do the practice so that when the thought appears in your mind, you have got to recognize, number one, the choice that it was talking about here a moment ago. I see the choice. I know what I want. I don't want to be right. I don't want to be whatever, unembarrassed. I don't want to, right? I know what the guiding light is. I know what my aspiration is. I know that this is not consistent with, like you were talking about a while ago, NTI was talking about a while ago, this is not consistent with calm and peace. And therefore, I'm not going to follow this. This is the ego directing me to do this, or this is the thinking mind, or this, you know, this is my past experience. But that's not consistent with what I want now. And that's basically what this paragraph says. All there is to do is release this thought and open my mind to God. And then the last line in that paragraph: I am willing to be open to what I cannot expect and cannot judge. And that's the cool part. Again, I'm willing to be open to inner wisdom. Yeah, I know it looks like if I take the steps that I'm being guided to take, or I'm taking the steps away from whatever's inconsistent with calmness and peace, I'm taking steps away from what I normally do, right? It's going to be scary because I think I know how this world works.
Yeah, and that's what we were talking about earlier, that you got to have trust in order to take those steps,
right,
the intuitive steps, because in the worldly mind, they're not going to make any sense.
Right.
They're not going to serve the highest self, as Cassie says.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, we're like you're saying, we're more concerned about serving the ego self and not being embarrassed. And
yeah, I mean, because we've chosen ego as I think the way Regina referred to it in the Cultivating Intuition audio was believing in the wisdom of the thinking mind, believing that the thinking mind is wise, and it's not. And we think that's our, the be-all, end-all. We think that's our protector and will keep us safe and unembarrassed and calm and peaceful. And what we're finding out, as we said a while ago, more and more every day, is that it's not there. It's not there. It's not there. That way, you know, that way lies hell, right? Or
yeah, and I think what I'm finding out as I get deeper in this is that what's really wrong about the world is the foundation's wrong. It's just wrong. It's just not right.
The me against you foundation.
Yeah, just the whole premise of you know, the separate beings and yeah, then they're separate beings and there's me against you and there's the whole thing we've learned from the very beginning that there is no separation, there is only oneness, and if the foundations are so totally opposite that if you're in your worldly mind and getting by and doing well, you know, there's a real probability that you think that the thinking mind is going to lead you through this because you've seen some results of that. But that's not the goal. And so therefore it's not the path to follow.
Isn't that funny? That we even have the goal wrong.
Yeah. So the whole underlying premise seems to be incorrect. I mean, it might get you where you're going if it was correct, but it's not. If we're wanting, what are we wanting? The comfort and peace of God.
Right.
Right.
Comfort and peace of God. Yeah. Amen. Well said.
Shaky foundation. You got it.
Okie doke. Looks like we lost Regina. She told us she was going to leave. She had to drive over Ken's. So, okay. I don't think it was anything we said. So the next thing is we are on page 180 of NTI, and it's Luke chapter 23, and we've got the little Bible icon there that says we should read 1 through 25 from the Bible, from Luke 23, and so we'll do that. And I'm reading from the New International Version. Okay. Then the whole assembly rose and led him off to Pilate, and they began to accuse him, saying, "We have found this man subverting our nation. He opposes payment of taxes to Caesar and claims to be Messiah, a king." So Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "You have said so," Jesus replied. Then Pilate announced to the chief priests and the crowd, "I find no basis for a charge against this man." But they insisted, "He stirs up the people all over Judea by his teaching. He started in Galilee and has come all the way here." On hearing this, Pilate asked if the man was a Galilean. When he learned that Jesus was under Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who was also in Jerusalem at that time. When Herod saw Jesus, he was greatly pleased, because for a long time he had been wanting to see him. From what he had heard about him, he hoped to see him perform a sign of some sort. He plied him with many questions, but Jesus gave him no answer. The chief priests and the teachers of the law were standing there, vehemently accusing him. Then Herod and his soldiers ridiculed and mocked him. Dressing him in an elegant robe, they sent him back to Pilate. That day, Herod and Pilate became friends. Before this, they had been enemies. Pilate called together the chief priests, the rulers, and the people, and said to them, "You brought me this man as one who was inciting the people to rebellion. I have examined him in your presence and have found no basis for your charges against him. Neither has Herod, for he sent him back to us. As you can see, he has done nothing to deserve death. Therefore, I will punish him and then release him. But the whole crowd shouted, "Away with this man! Release Barabbas to us!" Barabbas had been thrown into prison for an insurrection in the city and for murder. Wanting to release Jesus, Pilate appealed to them again, but they kept shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" For the third time he spoke to them, "Why? What crime has this man committed? I have found in him no grounds for the death penalty. Therefore I will have him punished and then release him." But with loud shouts they insistently demanded that he be crucified, and their shouts prevailed. So Pilate decided to grant their demand. He released the man who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder, the one they asked for, and surrendered Jesus to their will. So, you know, every time we read those stories, the Bible stories are awful. Maybe there's something for me to look at there. But I don't know why anybody would ever read the Bible when you read that.
Well, like, I don't think it's gotten any better, that's all.
Wow. All right. Hi, Jeff. Okay. You think I read from the right place? Because that doesn't look like the story I was reading. Because now we're talking about the vineyard.
Well, no. It was interesting.
It says Luke 23, right? There it is. Luke 23.
Yeah, I don't know why it's talking about the vineyard. Something seems so...
So anyway, so we're going to read that. And we're going to just go back. Yeah, I don't either. Thank you. Sorry. So we're going to just pick up here. It says, "The story of the vineyard remains helpful to you now. For if you remember the feelings of guilt, the expectation of attack, and the desire to defend, you will understand the thinking of the chief priests and teachers of the law as they sought to have Jesus crucified." Do you remember the story of the vineyard? Because they wanted us to bring the two stories together.
Okay.
Well, and when the vineyard, the story where, here it was, says, "How is one who has stolen a vineyard, how would that one be likely to think? Would he not feel like a betrayer and so feel guilty? Would he not expect some type of reprisal and so fear attack? Would he not prepare for his own defense and also defend himself whenever he sensed the possibility of attack?" And then it goes on to say, "These are the characteristics of the ego." And it's exactly what you were just talking about. Although, I got to tell you, my mind is pretty squirrely today, because as soon as I said that, it went right out of my mind. What were you just talking about, Connie?
Mm-hmm.
Makes it hard to teach a course when neither one of us have any memory.
We must be enlightened.
Oh, shoot. Okay. So again, so now that we've reviewed a little bit the story of the vineyard and how the people who believed that they had stolen the vineyard felt, we're told here that that story is helpful, because if you remember the feelings of guilt, the expectation of attack, and the desire to defend, you will understand the thinking of the chief priests and teachers of the law as they sought to have Jesus crucified. Know that this story is only a symbol of that which is in your own mind. Jesus is the symbol of the Christ, your truth, which must be in your mind. The chief priests and teachers of the law symbolize your fear, which is also within your mind. So I assume that these chief priests and teachers of the law really feel like, I mean, I don't know if this is referring to, I'm sure Regina could tell us, but given she's not here, she won't. You know, did the chief priests really recognize that they have bastardized the teachings, right? Because they're trying to, the chief priests and these guys are trying to maintain their position in society, and they're doing it through the church and through the teachings of, you know, of the Bible, right? And so they have twisted all of this so that it upholds the individual self, the personal sense of self, and it doesn't actually point to truth at all. And so they would feel guilty. They would expect to be attacked. They would desire to defend their positions and get rid of this troublemaker as quickly as they could, who's telling people, well, that's not what this is all about.
Sounds like politics as usual, right?
Right? So, I mean, so you know, that statement makes sense even on this small scale basis, as well as on the fact that we're all coming from that spot.
Cause I know, it throws it back in our lap and says, oh, what about you? Aren't you doing this right
yeah,
now?
Right. Aren't you feeling guilty, expecting attack, desiring to defend? Yeah, if we're in our ego, we're doing exactly those things. That's where we're stuck. When we're stuck in ego. And that's what this says. The chief priests and teachers of the law symbolize your fear, which is also within your mind.
Okay, move on.
You got that point, Connie? I'll move on. So it says, let us look at your fear for a moment. And this is the middle of page 180. Let us look at your fear for a moment. Recognize it as your own. For what you own, you can let go of. This examination is a time of celebration. Here is what you fear. You fear, and this isn't a past fear, something I did when I wanted, you know, this isn't the tiny man. This is the tiny man idea I have every day, every moment.
This is my general
resistance.
Yeah, this is a recurring nightmare.
Right. Here's what you fear. You fear the loss of self, just as the tenants feared the loss of the vineyard. But loss of self cannot be, because your true self was given you by God as a gift. This gift shall never be taken away. So what is it that you fear really? You fear the loss of an illusory self.
Bingo. Ding, 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 ding.
Yes. Because you have forgotten who you are, because you think you're that illusory self, right? You think that to lose who you think you are is to lose who you really are. But as I have already told you, nothing could be further from the truth. If I am to help you release your fear, I must teach you that there is nothing to fear. This is why I've given you the symbol of Jesus, for he has stepped forth into that which you fear most of all, and he has arisen in glory and joy. So let's look at that first, the first part of that paragraph. I must teach you that there is nothing to fear. And how's our Course in Miracles open? My mind doesn't seem to be working tonight, folks. So we actually have the Course in Miracles. There, nothing real can be threatened. Nothing unreal exists.
Herein lies the peace of God.
Herein lies the peace of God. That's the same statement as what's been made here. Yeah. Yeah. Why can't we get it through our thick skull? This is our inheritance, right? Yeah, because we're confused about who we are. Because we think we've stolen something we haven't actually stolen. We think that we've thrown away our inheritance to become these little selves, these putrid little selves, and that's what we're stuck with, and so we're going to defend that with our dying breath.
And somehow we think that putrid little self is better than all the glory and
because we don't believe that, the glory of God. Yeah, we don't believe that that's actually our inheritance, and even if it was, we threw it away. Man, we screwed that up. I mean, that's what this whole fear and fear of retribution, guilt, and all that's about.
Yeah, we don't believe it.
Yeah. So, he says, so this whole idea, this whole release from fear, the need to get that, is why I have given you the symbol of Jesus. For he has stepped forth into that which you fear most of all, and he has arisen in glory and in joy. And of course, it would be death that we fear most of all. And what is it? Death of the body. Death of the individual self. That's our greatest fear. And so, you know, again, you know, it wasn't about the crucifixion. It was about the resurrection.
That's what I was going to say. And then most of us get messed up in the fundamental idea that, oh, my God, he was crucified for his beliefs in God, and knowing that he was the Son of God, or the Son of God. And therefore, you know, I don't want to, there's another reason not to go down that road. But
isn't that funny how you would totally flip that on
totally
its head?
Totally flip it instead of seeing that the that the real miracle was the resurrection, and that it wasn't death at all.
Yeah, and all to prove that none of us need fear death, because that's not who we are. We're not the body.
Exactly.
Right. We're not the body mind.
Right. But a lot of us have a hard time believing that one too.
Particularly when our little pinky hurts, or I get a hangnail,
or my arthritis. Oh no.
Right. Fear not. You are the same as he.
Yay.
And he and I are one, just as you and I are one. There is no cause for fear or sadness. This is a time for celebration, for you are opening up to that which you are.
Thank you.
Look at Jesus and know it is yourself you look upon.
Thank you.
Behold, your glory has become manifest in this symbol. Your glory has become manifest in this symbol. Lay your other thoughts aside and do not listen unto them. For those voices have no meaning now. Your truth is before you, and it stands silent before the world. The Christ is the one within you that does not crucify the Son of God. This one is there within you. Fear not that he is not. To crucify is to want dead. This is the voice within that fears attack, and so it seeks salvation by attacking first. This is the voice of the ego. This is the voice that has arisen within your thoughts as a result of the belief that you have stolen yourself from God. This voice does not love. It fears. Even within its illusions of love, it fears, which is why it attacks the ones that you set out to love. The voice of crucifixion. Did you want to talk about that?
Well, it just seems, and I know the Course says it all the time, how we have it just exactly backwards and upside down.
Completely.
Completely. Yeah, it's just we got it so upside down, so screwed up that you can recognize our loved ones in the world that are trying to make their way through the world by attacking first and thinking that is, I'm one up on them.
Yeah.
And that my salvation comes from being one up on somebody else. My salvation comes from making me number one at your expense.
Well, or even like our little tiff that I know you want to continue to talk about this weekend, where I felt guilty for not doing something in a timely manner, and I'm like, well, you could have called. when you call and tell me you needed it right this minute. I mean, that's an attack. That's clearly an attack, so that I can go, well, you're the one that sucks. Now you can continue to love me because I wasn't in the wrong. Which is crazy, because I'm attacking the one that I want to love me.
Yeah, and what's really a shame is that, even when sometimes when you know that's going on, instead of being able to hold a space for them and saying, it's okay, Jacqueline, you get in there and you stomp the ground too. And, how absurd is that?
Yeah, aren't we enlightened?
You knew what time we go to lunch.
So, yeah, I mean, it's a matter of practicing it when you can see it in the moment. And when you can't see it in the moment, to be able to see it when you can see it, right? And then being grateful that you can see it. I mean, I just don't think we have any other choice.
Yeah, and I really think that just holding a space for somebody that, I don't need to correct you. You know when it's coming out, that's not where the space you really want to be in. So for me to participate in that moment, it just seems wrong. It just seems that a loving thing to do would be to hold that space.
Right. No, I entirely agree. I do entirely agree.
And I'm sorry I wasn't able to do that.
Well, I love you, and I'm sorry that I was late. But anyway, Glad you all are getting all this online here. But no, seriously, but my point is that you wouldn't want to go, oh, I screwed up and I didn't hold the space for her, and then double dip in ego and go, you know.
Double dip in ego.
Yeah, and go, well, I guess I do suck, or I must not be getting this, or because you either recognize it, you know, it's like Regina has said in the past, you either, if the thought is there for you to choose, choose it. And if you can't choose it when you can choose it, right? I mean, you chose the highest thought you were able to choose at that time.
Oh, well, that's not saying much.
Yeah, I mean, so you do, just be gentle with yourself. We all have to do that. It's in the looking back and seeing that you could have had another choice. That's where the value in that lies.
And I've said that here of late, that seems like a lot of the, when I'm getting the points that are being made, and I'm looking back at maybe my what's happened in the experience of the day, and saying, oh, that's what Jacqueline was talking about. Oh, that's what Regina was talking about. Oh, that's what that lesson meant, and kind of seeing these things in hindsight, and it's been really good for me. It's been really enlightening.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's the way to approach them. No kidding. Much more helpful than oh, mess that up again.
You dumb.
All right.
All
right. So let's see.
I think we're on four.
Where are we? Four. To crucify. No, we read that.
Okay, sorry.
No, it's all good. Maybe 10. The voice of crucifixion cannot help but crucify, for that is what it was made to do. Do not hate this voice when you hear its shrieks of attack. Calmly forgive this confused and fearful voice. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
I think that's what you were just saying.
Yeah. Yeah, and there are certainly even some, and I tell you what's in my mind right now is Paul Hederman, who would say, you know, that's not your voice anyway. You know, the problem is in identifying with that voice, with the one that, you know. And we're so identified with the voice that would just shriek and attack first and all of that, that that's why our choices are limited to begin with, because we're so identified with that voice. But there comes a point where we begin to see the choices, and for a while we just see them after the fact. But there definitely comes a point where we begin to see our choices, and realize that we no longer have to identify with that voice, and that there is another choice, and we can do that in real time.
Yeah, I just was listening to that Fred Davis, and that's exactly what he was saying. Is that that's there as a circumstance may be, but you don't have to identify with that.
Look beyond this voice to the beauty that lies within. Listen in rest. Remember that? There you go. You got to rest that story. She knew we ate lunch at 11:30. Listen in rest for the voice that does not crucify and knows no crucifixion. This is the voice your father gave to you. This is your true voice, the gift of heaven that cannot be taken away. This voice knows no crucifixion because it knows no purpose other than love, acceptance, joy, and oneness. This voice welcomes your brothers as one with it. This voice welcomes you. That's just the other choice. That's the other choice that we've been talking about all night. Yeah.
The other side of the page.
Yeah. Two columns. Right.
Yeah.
This is the voice of peace. It knows no conflict or attack. It seeks no guilt, and it gives the past no meaning born of artificial thought. This is the voice for God. It is a mighty voice that silences all other voices as meaningless and without purpose. This voice beckons to you in certainty and with authority. I tell you the truth. Today, you are with me in paradise. Beyond the illusions, there's truth. Truth is peace, and peace is paradise. Because it knows only truth and listens only to the voice of truth. Lay mistaken thoughts aside and listen to me. And you lay crucifixion aside as purposeless and choose instead the purpose of realization of truth.
Above the battlefield.
That's right. Yeah. Amen. Okay, guys. It's been fun. We love you. Thanks for letting us share even our ups and downs, particularly our ups and downs, I guess.
We'll get there.
Together.
Good night.
Bye, everybody. See you next time.